Accession number 3790, Reel 6.
Mr. Johnson, Reel 6.
I think I have to correct myself, because ethyl chloride, I think, is for used for local anesthetic. I think it must have been chloroform, a rough sort of chloroform. Anyway, we had one fella lying over the fella's feet to hold him down. We had another fella holding his hands down, and I was administering the chloroform. And he was struggling badly. And our doctor tried to do his best. In retrospect, this operation reminds me of a book I read about the Hunting Brothers, the Hunter Brothers, in the 18th or 17th century, applying medical science in St. George's Hospital, London, where people were given laudanum, and their limbs were sewn off very often without anesthetic. Anyway, after the operation was over, which was conducted in a surgery which was about 3.5 yards by 3 yards, you can imagine what the fumes were like, and I was told by the doctor, Peter, you better go outside, you look green. Anyway, I suffered as badly as the anesthetist, as the patient did.
The doctor called you Peter. Had you already changed your name?
My nickname was always Peter. My name was Wolfgang Josephs, but my nickname was always Peter. Anyway, whilst we were on the journey from Panama to Newfoundland, and from Newfoundland to Britain, the refugees who were half enrolled for the British Army, as well as the Australian and New Zealanders, were asked to help keeping watch on the bridges. Although, of course, the naval personnel had binoculars, and there was somebody sitting in the top mast with binoculars, we had to look out. Rather, we were trained to observe for lights, any lights we saw, in case we saw any other naval craft, and we had to report that to the bridge. An occurrence which was rather unfortunate on the ship was that our purser suffered of a delirium tremens. And he was a bad alcoholic, which is not so unknown amongst naval personnel. And one night he went on the monkey's bridge, the aft bridge, where the depth charges were situated and the gun, and tried to throw himself into the Atlantic. But he was saved and taken to his cabin. He was stripped and tied to the bed, and a guard was put on him until we reached Liverpool, where he was collected and put into a lunatic asylum, so I'm told. The ceramic was, as I mentioned, caught up in the storm north of Iceland or Greenland, and when we came to the appointed place, there were only three ships, the Ceramic, the SS Ceramic, a tanker, and a merchant ship. And so our captain took command of the convoy. And we came in on the west coast of Scotland, and signals were exchanged, as there was radio silence, and it was the same situation as when we had approached Panama, that the convoy leader of the convoy we should have been with had reported us as lost, either torpedoed by the Germans or taken prisoner by the Germans, and consequently there was no reply to our signals. Anyway, we sailed on and we landed at Liverpool on the same quayside where we had sailed 18 months before. We landed about the 22nd of October 1941 and were taken to a camp which may very well have been Heiden again, under recollect. And there we were medically examined, and I think it was on the 23rd or 24th of December 1941 that I gave my oath on the Bible, on the Old Testament, to the king. At that time, what was his name? King George VI, father of the present queen. And amongst us was one chap who only spoke Yiddish, and his name was Antman, A-N-T-M-A-N-N, who had been a horse dealer in Pomerania. And he was sworn in on the Melech and his Mishpoche, which meant the Yiddish word or Hebrew word on the king and his relations. On the 24th of December, we were given the king's shilling with our swearing in, and I was given a pass to report in Ilfracombe to the Pioneer Corps unit on the 1st of January 1942 to start as a recruit. I arrived home late in the evening on the 24th of December, my mother was very pleased to see me.
Had your mother heard the news that your ship had been torpedoed or lost?
Well, no, that news did not get back. That news was, one did not mention these things in wartime, that ships had been lost until it was known that they really had been lost. But anyway, I telephoned her when I got to Liverpool, and so she was very pleased I was back.